Hello and welcome to Near FM. I'm Andrew Reid, and joining me in the studio today is David Barry from the Irish Wheelchair Association. Hello, Dave. You're very welcome to the programme.
Hello, Andrew. Thanks for having me in.
You work for the Irish Wheelchair Association, so could you tell us a little bit about the organisation and what it actually does?
Absolutely, yeah. So the Irish Wheelchair Association, it's the IWA, as people might commonly know it as. It started up in 1960, which is nearly 60 years ago now. It started up very simply with a small group of wheelchair users looking to get some, I suppose, better service and a better quality of life for people with physical disability. Nearly 6 years later, it's grown into quite a big organisation. We have 20,000 members throughout the country, served by a team of over 2,000 staff and over 2,000 volunteers.
It's quite a huge number then, isn't it? Like when you have like 2,000 staff and then 20,000 members, like it is a huge number.
Absolutely, and there's different services. There's youth services that I run, resource centres. There is a driving school. We have holiday centres, a very big assisted living service, which basically assists people to live their lives
independently.
Absolutely, yeah.
That it sounds like a brilliant service. You run some evening events for the youth service. Could you tell me a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, so the youth service that I run, it's the kind of dumb new service it's called. It runs for people aged 13 up to 30. So people at 29 and 30 are still considered young, which is nice. We have three main youth clubs. They're kind of teenage youth clubs. They go from 13 up to 19, kind of 20. We have one in Clontarf, which you know quite well. We have one in Clondalkin, and we have one in Bray. We do some other kind of youth events or clubs. We have a youth disco once a month in Clontarf, that you also know quite well. We run youth holidays throughout the year. We have different kind of workshops, mental health workshops, disability awareness workshops. So we're quite a busy service, to be honest.
It is a very busy service. And you just mentioned there the youth disco, which definitely I know quite well because we've worked together for a number of years. Have you seen, say, the disco, say, grow, or have you seen, you know, more young people coming into the discos that have a physical disability?
So my time in the disco, it's coming on 9 years now, I think. It changes year to year. You have people getting older, obviously. You have younger members coming in from the younger ages group, I suppose, wanting younger music and that, which I know can be an issue with the older members sometimes, which is quite funny. I suppose, has it changed substantially? Maybe not. I suppose working with yourself, we have tried to change it up small bits, getting in some live music, some different DJs from time to time. But I suppose the event, what itself is, hasn't changed all that much. It's a safe place once a month for young people to come, see their friends, enjoy some music and basically have a good time.
It must present its challenges though. We just mentioned there that, you know, it doesn't always go down well with the older members, with the younger music. But at the same time, you know, I feel that you have to kind of enjoy your work, and I most certainly do enjoy the youth disco. I get such a buzz out of it once a month. It is one of the highlights of the month for the youth members. Do you get a good bit of feedback from them, or what way is it well received, do you think?
I think it's very well received, to be honest. On an average month, we'd have between 30 and 40 young people there. So
that's a huge number.
That's a lot of young people. It really is. I mean, I suppose they vote with their chairs or vote with their feet. They come. It's once a month, and they really enjoy it. Some months they might actually spend more time outside than actually in the disco. But again, it's just a social thing. They're chatting to their friends. Mm-hmm. It's in my opinion, works very well.
Yeah, it seems to be working extremely well, and you seem to have a good team behind you with personal assistants and volunteers. How do you judge if there'll be a good asset to the service?
A good asset to the service, I suppose, number one, at the very basic, they have to have their training, so simple things like guard vetting done first. And then it is just a case of trialling maybe a PA or a personal assistant to see how they get on with the young people, to see if there's that kind of rapport that they need to have. Because a personal assistant, they support young people with personal care, but they're also there to, I suppose, join in the fun and maybe create a bit of fun as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely one of the main things like I've seen over the years. The personal assistants, they do like it themselves, and you know it is a brilliant service to run. But you also run disability awareness workshops. Do you think young people understand disability, or is there a barrier there, and what is the aims of the workshop?
I suppose firstly the aim of the workshop is to it's a disability awareness workshop, so it aims to dispel any myths or any stigma around the area of disability. Just, I suppose, to highlight people with disabilities have ability.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young lady that I work with, and her take on her disability is she doesn't have a disability, she has a different ability, which is a lovely way of talking about it, and it's something that we do highlight at the workshops.
Yeah, yeah.
Young people these days, we feel certainly there is more awareness already before we went to schools and youth clubs. In the age we live in, internet, media, there's much more information out there. I think compared to when I was younger, there certainly already is more awareness.
Yeah, and it must be a really good thing to walk into a school and kind of hear them talk about disability or ask questions to a person with a disability. And I do kind of like that idea that, you know, when you walk into a school, you can kind of sense whether these guys are going to understand it or not, or, you know, but it definitely sounds like a brilliant idea. How often would you actually run these workshops?
It depends on demand, to be honest. So it could be once a week. We could be in three schools a week. It literally just depends on the season and kind of demand. An important aspect of the workshop is that there is always myself, the youth worker, and a young person with a disability. So for them, it's kind of great work experience. It gives them some real life presenting experience. And for the young people who attend the workshop, the schools, it works really well because it's coming from a young person with disability, their life experiences, their beliefs, so it's much more believable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, I have a disability, so I kind of understand it a little bit more than most people. But I do find a lot of young people that pass through our doors, and I have noticed this, they just adapt to being in that situation, and it's really nice to see. We had a young guy in a while ago, and he actually adapted really, really well. And a lot of people, when they kind of see a person with a disability, I think they shy away from it a little bit. And there is kind of certain aspects that I have seen over the years working with yourself that I've kind of thought, oh yeah, this person is good, or I'm not really sure about this. And you're kind of, you know, it is a kind of catch-22, watching everything. We obviously have a good working relationship. Do you feel that you have to have a good working relationship with the volunteers, and why?
I absolutely do feel it's imperative, to be honest, for the running of the service. It's a small service as services within the association go. So volunteers are an integral part of what we do. A volunteer, by their very nature, they volunteer their time. They're not paid. Mm-hmm. So for me, they need to be able to enjoy their time with us. They need to feel that they have an important role, and to get feedback on how they're doing, and I suppose for the planning of the youth service going ahead to include them in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, you know, they are a very big part of what we do.
You just mentioned earlier, you run youth clubs within the Dublin area. Could you tell me a little bit about the one based in Clontarf?
So the youth club in Clontarf, yeah, it's I suppose it covers North Dublin really in terms of the catchment area. So we have people coming in from Blanchardstown, Finglas, Malahide, Clontarf, obviously. So it's a very big catchment area. It takes place twice a month on a Thursday evening, and we get up to all different games, projects, activities, crack, and just it's a fun space to be. We recently, just a couple of weeks back there in March, we took place in the Paddy's Day Parade in Dublin, which was a really big event and very cold on the day, but it was a great experience.
It definitely was. I mean, I've never taken part in such a huge project, and I was actually talking about this on the radio a while ago, and I was saying, you know, for our guys, it was such a huge, huge event for them, and they just seemed to love every moment of it, even me, and I was just kind of blown away at their enthusiasm. It was so, so cold that day, and they still came back and they were like, oh my god, that was amazing. Yeah, definitely. And everyone that I talked to after the parade seemed to love it, and it was an absolutely brilliant event. But a lot of work went into behind the scenes. Could you tell us a little bit about that, and how the Paddy's Day Parade kind of was set up, and how you got the organisers involved there?
Absolutely. So I suppose we had a previous youth club take part in the parade in 2016, so I had some kind of background knowledge with it. So we applied in November, and there's an application form online that you apply, and you include details of your club, and basically you send the application in, and thankfully we were given a spot. So we were allocated a dance tutor stroke fun tutor stroke lovely lady named Emma, and she worked with the group for I think it was 10 weeks in a row, which kind of doubled the amount of youth clubs we normally have. So it was in that respect it was a big commitment, but the young people took to it like ducks to water. They thoroughly enjoyed it, and yeah, I suppose each week was more fun. It was fantastic.
And they showed up, and when they show up, it does spark the commitment, doesn't it? It really does, and it really shows they were really enthusiastic.
Absolutely.
I mean, for myself, I think it was one of the best things I've ever taken part in. And I know we've spoken about it since, and we've said, you know, every year we do, you try and do a different project. Like one year we did a fashion show, went really, really well. And I suppose in a sense, like for people that are out there, could you tell the listeners how they can get their son and daughter involved in the youth service and how to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So we have a, I suppose, a youth site within the Irish Wheelchair Association website. So it's www.iwa.ie/youth. So you'll have some information there how to get in touch. I can also be contacted on david.barry@iwa.ie. So what happens is, once I get a referral in from a family member or a social worker, I go out to meet the young person and their family. I suppose just to ensure that we have the appropriate service for them, and that yeah, I suppose that they are suited to our service.
And would that be, you class that as a home visit then, do you?
Yeah, it's got a home visit or home referral or I suppose a chat, I suppose sometimes. Yeah, there's no set name for it, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be referred to as a home visit.
What is the most challenging things, would you say, within the service that you run?
Most challenging aspects, I suppose funding could be an issue. It generally is an issue. We fundraise as a service throughout the year. Our youth clubs at present, they are literally run on fundraising money, so that is definitely an issue. We have a certain level of funding, but it doesn't cover, it probably doesn't cover half of what we actually, the service we deliver. We do run amucks, we do cycles to Galway, we do church collections, we just did an Easter raffle. So that can be certainly an issue, but that is also an organisational issue in that the Irish Wheelchair Association, we are a charity, so fundraising is a big part of what we do.
Yeah, and it definitely is, because I know we've had to fundraise in the past for the fashion show, but I always find people, they give generously in certain places. Like we've gone to certain places and everyone kind of gives generously for the Irish Wheelchair Association, and you know, to me that shows a good community within the community you were in, say that day, whether it be Swords, Tala, Clondalkin, and anywhere. It just, for me, definitely you can see that people want to give, and because they know it is a good charity, and they know people genuinely need that kind of money. But you recently do youth breaks. Could you tell me a little bit about that, and what is the purpose behind that?
So yeah, we as part of a youth service, we go on youth holidays every year. So we the breaks are split up between under 18, so you're talking 13 to 17, and then over 18, 18 to 30. So the Irish Wheelchair Association, we have a couple of holiday centres around the country. We have one in Clontarf, it's called the Carmel Fallon Centre. We've one in Kilkenny. And we also have our national holiday centre in Roscommon, Dunamon. It's called Cushla, C-U-I-S-L-E, Cushla. So yeah, literally we hope, depending on funding each year, to bring our under 18 groups away maybe twice a year, once at Easter and once in the Halloween October break. So it's a chance for young people to get away from families, to get away from, I suppose, any stresses they have, and to gain some independence. For a lot of young people, it can be the first time actually away from home without parents. So it's a pivotal time. Teenage years, you know well, Andy, yourself.
Yeah,
it's a while back now, same as myself. But they can throw up many challenges. And it's important for young people to get some space away with their friends and to grow as young people.
I've been with you on these for the last maybe 2 years. I think we've gone together to do the breaks. But I got to say, the one thing for me is you never stop learning. when you're in the youth service. For me, I don't. I think I'll always learn about the youth service. I'll always learn that there is challenges. There will always be challenges that you have to face. The aim of, for me, I think the aim was to sit down with them and just laugh this time. I think I came home and I had sores from laughing so much with the young people. And for me, I don't get an opportunity sometimes to do that, which is kind of nice. We sit down and we laugh about, you know, they'll say something or I'll say something really quick. And, you know, we just, I mean, you hear the laughing down there and we never stopped.
Absolutely.
For 4 days. And I think that is the most important thing within the service, and to just enjoy it. Even if you're a volunteer and you're going, you do this thing out of your own time, you have to love it. Absolutely. If you don't love it, you're in the wrong job.
And I suppose the holidays, they actually bring that intensity. The youth clubs and the discos, they're on for 2, 3, 4 hours of an evening. But the holidays, you're literally living in each other's pockets for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can bring little fights and that. But majority of the time, it just brings people closer. It brings together groups. And it just creates stronger bonds.
Definitely. I mean, I was with a guy we were just playing Switch. And this guy is visually impaired. And I just was so amazed that I was putting down cards and I was going. And he turned around and he goes, Andy, like, I'm blind. I can't see what's on the card. You need to tell me what's on the bloody card. And I was like, what? I was like, oh, sorry. And I'm going, yeah, that's what's on the card. Like, and even like that was just a learning experience, playing with somebody that's vision impaired. And he, you know, he has the card so near to his face. It was just amazing to watch.
Absolutely.
Really, really was.
And again, what we stress in our disability awareness workshops, that's communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's communication quite difficult at times, but it's essential to all our interaction. And yeah, he said, give me a hand here, help me out.
Yeah. And that, it was hilarious, like, because I started laughing. I was like, sorry, I just didn't think. And, you know, he taught me how to play Switch. And for me, that was the highlight of it. We just sat down for 2 hours and here we were, you know, dishing out cards. And I'm going, like, it was just amazing. That was one of my highlights from this time.
Great.
And we've also had, you know, we also have some challenges, though, along the way. You know, things happen, things change. Do you think there is enough youth clubs out in the community for people with disabilities?
I don't think there's enough youth clubs out there, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, economically, Ireland is coming into better times, but over the last 10 years, there's a substantial level of cuts in youth clubs across the youth sector. So that's including, I suppose, our services were slightly cut in terms of funding, but also the mainstream youth sector. So I don't think it's enough youth service, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially, yeah, there's not enough for the young people we work with. We are a small service with what we do. I do get referrals and sometimes from young people who are unsuitable to our service, but yet they don't seem to be able to access any other services. So there definitely is some gaps out there.
And is it hard for you to say no to somebody? Because of the type of person that you are and you work with people with disabilities, do you find it difficult to say no if you had to?
It's extremely hard, to be honest. However, as an organisation, we are funded to provide, service to people with physical disability.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of the last 8-9 years, I think it's only one or two kind of families or young people I had to say no to a service. But I always, if I have to say no, I always try to research other clubs, other activities, something that they can get involved in as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing that IWA does provide, is a service for young people. And being involved with the youth service, I mean, you're saying you're there 9 years and I was there before you. So I dread to think how long I'm there, but I definitely think it has changed, and it's changed for the better. But lastly, you recently became a father, well, about a year ago. Could you tell me, is time that you spend at home, is that precious because you work unsociable hours?
It's very precious. My life has turned upside down in the past 13 months. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I treasure, yes, absolutely. I treasure each and every minute I have at home now. A lot more so.
Mm.
However, my job is also a very important part of my life that I thoroughly enjoy. And I think it also has made me into the father I am today. Still very young into my fatherhood, but I just feel that, it's my I'm working in the Irish Wheelchair Association 14, nearly 15 years now. And I think it's developed me into a person now where I was ready to be a father. And so, as precious as the time is I spend at home, I also enjoy coming to work, which is good.
Which is a very good thing. I mean, I think you do have to enjoy your job. Dave, I just want to say thanks very much for talking to me today. It was an absolute pleasure.
Andrew, thanks very much.
Cheers. My thanks to David Barry from the Irish Wheelchair Association Youth Service Department. I'm Andrew Reid. Until next time, take care.